Welcome to this online interview sponsored by Biblical Eldership Resources. We're here today to discuss a very timely and relevant subject, and that's the subject of church security and safety. Just this week in the news, the national news has reported a shooting in South Carolina, the Emmanuel AME Church, where 9 people died, including the pastor, and several others were wounded. Stories like this are becoming not uncommon. And every church, whether large or small, can be a target and oftentimes are when we least suspect it, from individuals, terrorist groups, or disgruntled church members. Today I've invited Jeff Rogers to come and share with us. Jeff has a unique and very qualified background to speak to this subject. We met a few months ago at a conference in the Midwest and had a great lunch, and immediately I recognized here's somebody who has some knowledge and some wisdom and insight that I think would be tremendously helpful for church leaders, elders, to hear about and to begin the process of ensuring that their church is secure and safe for people to come. Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure, Chuck. First of all, thank you for having me, and my heart and prayers go out to those who were impacted in that latest critical incident that just occurred. A little bit about myself. I just, as of December of last year, retired honorably as a deputy chief of police of a large police department in Arizona, Maricopa County. And my function there when I retired was the deputy chief of police over the Enforcement Bureau, which included the uniform patrol side, tactical operations, criminal investigations division, as well as many other functions that I served in. Prior to my experience in law enforcement, I owned and operated a martial arts studio as well. So safety, security, right in my wheelhouse.
Thanks. Tell us a little bit about your family and what you're currently doing.
You betcha. So had a huge transition lately, and when I was in law enforcement, I found myself almost over-addicted to my career and not focused as a man on my faith and family the way that I should be. And we made the decision to go ahead and pull our retirements and move up to Washington State, happily married to my wonderful wife and soulmate, Susan, and we have 2 wonderful kids. And we're just really excited as we have this new chapter in our life, as we're committing as a family under my leadership to God and His Word, while still utilizing the skills and experience that we have. So we've started up a consulting company, Rogers Consulting and Investigations, and we're just happy to help and be a part of anything that we can to help the churches and everyone else out there.
Great. It's exciting to me to see how God can use that kind of background and training and combine it with the things of the Lord. So I praise God for men like you, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, let's cut to the quick. What kind of security issues do you see that the church needs to be concerned about based on your experience, your background, your understanding?
Well, you did get right into it pretty quick there. That's a question that really is going to depend on the community that the church resides in and that it's a part of. From a law enforcement perspective, what we like to do is kind of compartmentalize or parse out large-scale incidents all the way down to smaller scale incidents. And I think all of those have the potential at a church because of the large gathering. So starting with your big ones, you know, improvised explosive devices, you know, suspicious packages, bomb threats, things of that nature. You had already referenced one of the more critical ones, which is an active shooter scenario, where someone comes in with a mindset of, I want to kill as many or specific people as I can in the shortest amount of time. And then we have the other end of the spectrum, which are allegations of, you know, abuse, theft, disorderly subjects. You know, as the church is open to all of God's people, you know, sometimes the mental illness and the homeless, the fear of crime and other issues can really present themselves at the church as well.
Let me ask you, what are some policies or preventative measures? I mean, it's far better to prevent anything from happening than to have to deal with it once it's started.
Sure, Chuck. I would say the first thing is it's starting a formal relationship with the law enforcement agency that's responsible. So whether that's the county or the city, depending on the location of the church. And what I mean specifically with that is, having a designee or a group of designees, elders at the church, meeting with administrators or an administrator of the law enforcement agency. So for this conversation, we'll go ahead and just say that it's a police department, a city police department. So I would suggest that staff at the church meet with the highest ranking individual that they can in the local police department to get to know them, build rapport, relationship with them, and also talk about some of the issues that they're concerned, either based on experience or that they've heard or suspect might occur or present themselves, and come up with a relationship and a common approach to attack those incidents, I think is really big. Because if you look at the way a law enforcement agency is set up, it's going to be split up into zones or districts or beats, if you will. And there's always going to be someone who's ultimately responsible for that area. So find that geographic area that the church resides in, find out who is responsible for that, and get to know that because later, as we get into some specific fact patterns and questions, I'm going to show how that's going to kind of weave together and really help the relationship and find common ground for a successful resolution.
Okay, now let me ask you this. On a typical Sunday morning, it's a weekend shift. You're not going to be calling up the police, the chief of police or that administrative person. You're going to be calling probably 911. 911, and you're going to be getting the rookie cop who's low man on the totem pole. Is that fair to suggest that?
Well, I think that's a very politically correct way of saying that, Chuck. Absolutely. Most law enforcement agencies are set up based on seniority, and weekends off is usually for the more experienced or tenured officers. But a couple of things you pointed out there that I want to address. One, even as a deputy chief of police, I got phone calls all the time from community members, and that was part of my job. As we work and strive to have a true partnership with the community, it's really important to have that accessibility. And as a law enforcement officer, we didn't choose pizza delivery because we wanted normal business hours. We chose a job that is inherently dangerous and is a 24/7 job. So I want to make sure that fear of bothering an administrator is taken out. Because simply the fact that you mentioned is really important. If there is an incident that has a little bit of sensitivity to it or sensitive nature, do you really want a 22-year-old officer who is a jack of all, master of nothing, that really wants to go to some heat-seeking, adrenaline-pumping call for service, but instead was dispatched to a church for a disorderly subject or an allegation of abuse? And is that officer going to be the best tool that you can use in the partnership that you have? And my answer is it might be, but we know that there are other tools that are better, and that's going to be higher up in your chain of command and working that directly across from high level and then working that message down to the officer so he or she has a better chance of understanding the needs of what's going on and can appropriately respond and really kind of balance some of those competing interests.
Now, let me ask you this, just to assess how significant these threats are. We hear the big ones, like the one recently in the newspaper, and how likely is it that the average church is going to experience some of these different scenarios? Like, which ones are the most common that we need to be prepared for?
Mm. That's a very tough question for me to answer. I don't have any data behind me, so I'm going to give you a bit of opinion here and experience. Some of the common things that I've seen at the two churches I've attended in Washington and Arizona are typically related to mental illness, transients, homeless people, disorderly subjects. It's very common because as the church is trying to outreach to everyone to spread God's love, we're bringing in people sometimes that don't necessarily fit the mold of mainstream society. Maybe they smell offensive, they have rude or foul language, they talk to voices that, no one else is hearing. That's a very common type situation to occur. Additionally, allegations of abuse are huge. I've noticed in my career in law enforcement that things that used to be resolved within the family or at a smaller level because the pendulum has swung and everyone is, better safe than sorry, allegations are coming to law enforcement much more frequently about sexual abuse, physical abuse, domestic violence, or threats or intimidation. A spouse or former spouse or ex-boyfriend, has made some statements that are alarming, but no one is sure if they're criminal in nature yet.
What would your recommendation be for developing the preventative measures within the church?
Sure, Chuck. First and foremost, what I would do is I would set up a command structure, if you will, at the church. Find someone who's going to be ultimately responsible for safety and security and who takes that responsibility seriously and it's in their wheelhouse. I think that's the most important, and have that person be the authority on that and empower them to make decisions, while weighing in the options or needs of church leadership, but also safety and security, and understanding that there's no right or wrong answer, but a balance that needs to take place. And then equipping that person with volunteers that are capable and competent. Oftentimes we talk about the mockery of, the mall cop, the fat old guy that, is out of breath just walking from the coffee stand to the donut stand. And that's certainly not representative of what you want to meet the needs of a team like that. Oftentimes your church is full of former military, active military, former law enforcement, or active law enforcement. And I would put a calling out simply to say, hey, men and women who are have these skills and abilities, we want to partner with you and bring you into our team. So forming that team is the absolute first thing that you need to do to start implementing some of the measures. And you'll notice there are going to be some common things that are going to present that are some decision points for the administrators or the head of that team. Getting into things like, what do you want your safety and security team to wear? Do you want them to be marked or uniformed up, or do you want them to blend in? And probably the easiest way for me to give my opinion on that is some research that we've done on the law enforcement side. As I was earning my degrees in criminal justice and justice administration, we talk about uniformed presence being a deterrent. So making a decision on, does a police department have a bunch of marked black and white vehicles and marked officers, uniformed officers, or is there a strategy to have them hide, be undercover, unmarked, plain clothes, plain vehicles? So you'll notice that most law enforcement agencies across America have a little bit of both. And there's a reason why, because research shows that having that uniformed presence, that marked presence, is truly a deterrent from criminal activity and bad behavior. So the wolves or the bad people out there know, well, someone's watching these, this church takes it fairly seriously. I'm not going to do it at this time. On the other spectrum, the unmarked is, it's more of a reactive side, where we're going to sit there and try to find things that are happening and then react and address that. I would suggest that the church take a more uniform stance than none, because having them hide in there really defeats or competes against one of the concepts that I just brought up.